Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks so much for being with us. I think I want to start with this nice little stretch of weather that we've had, at least locally, for producers to get some work done, and most importantly, for fields to dry out so they can get in. How widespread is that, and what do you expect for the rest of the week?
Yeah, you know, days like today, we wish we would have had, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, where it's up in the 80s and windy, where we can dry up the soil and really get a lot going. And have been pockets, you know, right here in Chinpin County, for example. We missed some of the earlier storms this week. I remember my call my dad on over there in Springfield, Illinois. They got socked by a pretty powerful little storm system that went through. Parts of northern Illinois got soaked earlier this week. I'm talking 3 inches of rain in parts of north and northwestern Illinois. But then you just look back over the last, over the last 24, 48, even at 36 hours, there's a huge pocket of the Corn Belt that's been primarily rain-free because much of the action's been to our south. Got a little tropical pulse that's right now moved up into parts of it's kind of down there in the southeastern and quarter of the United States, and they are loving the precipitation that they're getting out of this because they were in drought. But yeah, around here, things have actually shaped up to be pretty decent in pockets over the last few days. But I guarantee you, there are people listening right now, they're going, what are you talking about? I got those storms, and they're feeling the pain of them. And I agree, it's been tough.
Yeah, it's a bit more summer-like with thunderstorms and such, I take it.
Yeah, and that's going to remove some of our ability to do any sort of long-range prediction. So what's happened now is the jet stream it's up in Canada, and as it's retreated to Canada, the pattern kind of flattens out a bit. And so we have to start watching these very little subtle features, these little things that show up, like a thunderstorm complex that might move through the Dakotas, may kick off an outflow boundary that eventually ends up in Illinois. We can't predict that more than maybe 12 hours in advance if we're even lucky. And that's what we're going to get for the rest of summer. That's just kind of the way it's going to be. So overall, the change in the pattern to a more summer-like weather is going to remove some of our predictability, whereas back when we had that deep trough in the southwest and a big ridge over the southeast, it was easy for me to just call in and say, hey, it's going to rain for the next 10 days, because that kind of pattern is very conducive to that.
Speaking of that, the southeast had been dry. Will they get wet, or have they been wetter?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to pick a spot where it has just been brutally dry, you can go right there along the coast from basically from parts of Virginia through North and South Carolina down into Georgia and Florida. There are some places there where soil moisture values are in the single digits in terms of percent in the top 3 feet of the soil. So they couldn't be happier that it's storming really bad there right now, just putting that moisture back in the ground. As they do that, people in Texas and in Oklahoma and Arkansas are super happy because they're actually going to go on probably a 4 to 10 day stretch of being drier than normal. And they just got flooded out. Parts of Louisiana got 10 inches of rain in the last 3 days. So those folks are super happy that the pattern shifted to their east.
Primary Corn Belt over the next week or so from the Dakotas to Ohio.
Yeah, so we've got two rounds of storms that are coming through the Dakotas. One kind of moving through Montana and the western Dakotas today. They got another chance tomorrow at some storms. And then early next week, they got another round. So they're not exactly dry. You look at the overall picture, and it looks dry, but that's because there's just these brief thunderstorm episodes that are coming through. Around here, you know, we're going to be dealing with, again, some chances of rain tomorrow. And then as the front slides through on Monday, we're going to watch very carefully to see if we're dry enough to avoid it, or if we do get some showers and storms out of that, maybe late Sunday night into Monday. But then after that, honestly, our next 5 days in this corridor, look much drier, much, much drier than they had previously. And that's going to look good for us, just trying to do whatever we can to get stuff in here at the end.
Do we have new long-range weather models out?
Yeah, they're released on the 5th of every month. And so when we look at what just came out on the 5th, we noticed that the European model still wants to keep June cool. In fact, it wants to keep July cool as well on the whole, which means when you average a whole month, that's what it's looking at. Texas, oh my gosh, some of the cooler weather that's coming into Texas, they may see some temperatures in the 50s, which is just crazy to tell someone from Texas that in June they're going to see 50-degree weather. But anyways, that cooler kind of blob of it is moving through, and we're going to get it here too. And that's the exact opposite of what I think we want. You know, when we look at those long-range models and they show up cool, that's a problem, because if we plant that corn at the end of May, beginning of June, we actually want the rest of the summer to be wet and warm. Wet and warm would give us our best situation. Not wet and hot, certainly not hot and dry, but wet and warm. The warm gets us to accumulate those heat units faster. The wet helps this crop that's already going to be, you know, struggling for its water resources just because of the way it's going to grow. If it flash droughts and it gets dry, that crop will be in serious trouble because it was planted in the set wet conditions. My bigger concern is, what if we have a summer like we had in 2009 or 2014? Now, those were huge yielding summers, but we planted on time. If we have a summer like that this year, but we're just not accumulating heat very fast in the middle part of the season, it's going to be one where I'm worried that the crop will be finished in time. And that's kind of a scary thing to think about, but it's the reality of planting in June.
It's kind of that thing. I know producers are worried about what September, October, and temperatures look like, and those first frost dates. I guess something they have to consider, and you've probably been thinking about as well.
Yeah, you know, it was putting together some numbers here, just looking at what that is. You know, remember, right around here, we're worried about October 12, 13, 14, 15. That's when we start to see those first frosts, kind of the probability of them increase. And if we have a cool summer leading up to that, that could be a problem. But can I throw in a wild card?
Sure.
The wild card is the Pacific Ocean, okay? The Pacific Ocean, right now, we've seen a bit of a weakening, maybe a collapse of the El Nino. On top of that, we've also got cool water that's off the West Coast and off the Baja. Now, it does not extend clear up into the Gulf of Alaska and all the way out to Hawaii. If it did that right now, all we would be talking about is hot, dry for the rest of the summer. But it's about a third of the way there, maybe even a little bit farther. Now, given that we already have to treat July as if it was June and August as if it were July, there is, if we just pay attention to that one factor, a chance that we may be able to get in some hot, dry end to our growing season, and that could be detrimental as well. I wish I could just come in here and talk all about good news all the time, but Mother Nature's thrown us a lot of wild cards this year, and each one kind of increases the unpredictability of this upcoming season.
Hey, one final question for you. How's the Russian wheat belt doing?
Yeah, so when you think about where the Black Sea is, just north of it, of course, is Ukraine. South of it is Turkey, and east of it would be the Russian wheat belt and Kazakhstan, that area. Well, Ukraine got, and the western part of Ukraine got some much needed rainfall just recently. But the Russian wheat belt has been hot. It is going to continue to stay hotter than average, and it's been relatively dry. So we see the next 10 days still they're showing up with a bit of a dry bias. And so just got people thinking about how's that winter wheat crop going to finish and what to expect there as they go into their growing season, you know, planting a lot of beans and other things as well. So it's not a rosy picture in that part of the world either.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.